You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the CyberWire's Research Saturday. I'm Dave Bittner, and this is our weekly conversation with researchers and analysts tracking down threats and vulnerabilities, solving some of the hard problems of protecting ourselves in a rapidly evolving cyberspace. Thanks for joining us.
So we had stumbled upon this threat actor team in September when we saw a number of very similar tactics being used, which were very different than what we were used to if we were just, you know, coming off the ransomware wave, where they were behaving differently.
That's Robert Boyce. He's Global Lead of Cyber Incident Response and Transformation Services at Accenture Security. The research we're discussing today is titled Karakurt Rises from Its Lair. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
And we just started to put some pieces together as we were doing our investigations, global coordination, and we found there was a lot of similarities. And so we just started digging into it a little bit more. And then, of course, we uncovered Karakurt as their self-proclaimed name and just started seeing some really interesting tactics that this group was using, which was very different than some of the traditional ransomware threat actors.
So what are some of the things that set Karakurt apart?
So a couple of things that we find very interesting. This group tries to limit the use of malware as much as possible. And they're not really in the business of destructive events. They're really more in there to quickly get in and exfiltrate data and then extort the victims with the data theft, as opposed to launching a ransomware attack and causing business disruption.
Any speculation on who is behind this?
No, that's really interesting. We haven't had enough intelligence yet to be able to really do attribution more than, you know, what their own self-proclaimed name is and some of the tactics that they've been using.
And who do they seem to be targeting here?
Yeah, so they're targeting more of the small to medium-sized businesses or subsidiaries to large enterprises. They're not really going after the big game hunting that we've seen some other threat groups go after.
And so suppose you find yourself falling victim to these folks. By what means are they getting into your organization?
Yeah, so they're getting in really through credentials. And we don't yet have enough intelligence to know how they're obtaining the credentials, but they're leveraging credentials through VPN access, almost exclusively of what we've seen so far, at least the cases that we have worked. And of course, all of those VPN devices do not have two-factor authentication installed. So it's making it quite easy for them to be successful in their initial intrusion.
So they get in, as you said, they get in, they get the data that they want to grab, they get out. What happens next?
Well, then they start reaching out to the victims and start pressuring them, extorting them for not disclosing the data. And what's also interesting about these guys is that they contact the victim in multiple ways, right? So they will, of course, leave the, you know, the evidence on a machine, or they will reach out via email, or they may even go back in and remind them. You know, we've actually seen them even leave a note file on a desktop that says your EDR will not save you. So they really try and apply a lot of pressure to the victims through, you know, multiple forms of communication.
And do they seem to be having success here? Has there been any way to track whether people are making payments?
It's hard to say. I mean, they've mentioned that they've, on their site, compromised over 40 victims and growing. And they have been disclosing, you know, following through with their threat of disclosing data for victims who haven't been paying. So we've seen that. So you could probably do some simple math of taking a look of how many, you know, victims they say they've had and how many disclosures they've had, and maybe, you know, have a rough idea of how many people may be paying them, but we haven't done that analysis.
What level of sophistication do you suppose we're dealing with this particular group?
Yeah, it's hard to say. Like, they're really in it for the short term wins, and so, as I said, they're leveraging known credentials, targeting, you know, vulnerable systems that don't have the added protection of two-factor. They're using a lot of really living off the land techniques to try and avoid detection. So they're, as I was mentioning before, they're not really looking at leveraging known malware. We have seen them use Cobalt Strike. We have seen them use Mimikatz, but it's more in an instance of maybe when they get stuck, because they're trying to leverage their the credentials, the applications that are available to them inside the organization to move laterally and to then execute their mission of exfiltrating data. So it's really hard to say the sophistication of the team, because they're using such basic methods to be successful.
And so what are your recommendations then for organizations to best protect themselves?
Yeah, this is a funny one. It's something we've been saying for, 20 years at least. Patch your systems, turn on two-factor authentication. You know, just the basic security IT hygiene would really help, you know, organizations avoid, a visit from this threat actor for sure. And as we were saying earlier, they are targeting small to medium-sized organizations, which probably often overlook these very basic security protocols.
Yeah, it really seems like they're an opportunistic group.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's really interesting the difference of, you know, when we were just before this happened, because this we saw them stand themselves up in June, you know, start registering their domains, get their social media ready in August, and then really we started seeing a cluster of activity in September, moving forward to the end of the year. Even this morning, I received another notification from a client looking for help for this exact team. And but prior to that, we were dealing with these, you know, larger destructive events that were making a lot of media headlines. And it seems that this team has really tried to avoid, not like play it under the radar, but also avoid attribution, right? And I think there's a couple of reasons for that. You know, these are, you know, best guesses. But, you know, as we saw the large ransomware events early in the year, we started seeing a lot more law enforcement engagement. And that law enforcement engagement, of course, led to some of the OFAC sanctions and having some threat actors on that list. And when this team avoids malware and doesn't use malware, it's much harder for us to be able to perform attribution. Right. And it also takes a target off their back when they're not having business disruption from being targeted by law enforcement. And of course, it makes it easier for the victims to pay if they don't appear on the OFAC list, or if we're not able to provide attribution to them to determine that they would be on the OFAC list. So, it's a really interesting tactic.
Yeah, it's, you know, I've wondered sometimes if we need a category we could call like nuisanceware, you know,
yes.
Where it's not terribly destructive. It's a bit of a time suck. It's not going to be cripplingly expensive. So, you know, you pay your fee and everybody goes on with life.
Yeah, correct. And I think their success, to me, we're starting to see a couple more groups emerge. They're taking some very similar tactics. So I think they're starting to set a bit of a standard for an alternate way to be able to get financial gain in this space without having to cause the business disruption and get all the attention that some of these, you know, some of the big game hunters we've seen earlier in the year.
I
Our thanks to Accenture Security's Robert Boyce for joining us. The research is titled Karakurt Rises from Its Lair. We'll have a link in the show notes. The CyberWire Research Saturday is proudly produced in Maryland out of the startup studios of DataTribe, where they're co-building the next generation of cybersecurity teams and technologies. Our amazing CyberWire team is Elliot Peltzman, Trey Hester, Brandon Karp, Eliana White, Peru Prakash, Justin Sabi, Tim Nodar, Joe Kerrigan, Carol Terrio, Ben Yellen, Nick Filecki, Gina Johnson, Bennett Moe, Chris Russell, John Petrick, Jennifer Iben, Rick Howard, Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here next week.